Saturday morning. Good morning. How are you? It's Trina Mara here. It is something for the weekend. And I'm joined on the line by one of the most recognisable faces from Dublin Zoo. We're not talking about a monkey here. We're talking about Jerry Creighton. How's it going, Jerry?
Trina, how are you? Thanks for having me on.
Do people slag you all the time about your family being in the zoo all the time?
Listen, you get it all the time. It's great fun, though. People are, you know, they're so supportive. They're amazing. They love the show. They love that the way we brought it into the family homes and it's become kind of part of the fabric of Irish society now, the zoo. And,
yeah.
You know, people are brilliant. Like, it is. It's all done in good form and good spirit.
Yeah. Because I get a bit of slagging because there is an animal in the zoo, Jerry, called Mara, spelled M-A-R-A.
Mara, yes.
Yeah,
that's
which
right.
I had never
South
come
American
across.
Road.
So that's my surname. I'd never come across one of these before in my life.
They're from South America. They're a road, small road, like related to a hare.
Okay.
The Patagonian Cavy is the other name for them.
Right. Is that part of the rat family then?
Yeah, they're kind of rodent-like family.
They're
bigger than a rabbit. Know, they're quite nice. They actually... I remember a few years ago hand-raising a little pair of them and I reared them up. So, but they're very interesting little creatures.
Yeah. Jerry, tell me this much. You have some news in relation to yourself and Dublin Zoo and some changes that are happening. What are they?
Yeah, last year was a very difficult year for the zoo. You know, obviously with the COVID and, you know, the attendances were way down and we were way down nearly over 600,000 people and that equated to about 8 million in losses. And it still continues. Like the zoo was in a lot, you know, we had the public appeal, which brought in over 2.7 million, which was brilliant. People were amazing, the support, the kindness that they showed towards the zoo. But, you know, it's continuing now that we're still on lockdown and the zoo costs about 500,000 a month to run for all the animal care and the animals. So it's a substantial amount of money. So there was a little bit of restructuring, you know, going to happen within the zoo. And an opportunity came up that kind of suited me too, because I've been traveling anyway quite a bit to zoos all over the world and helping them with their elephant care programs and showing the Dublin Zoo way. We're very highly regarded for what we've done with our elephant breeding program, particularly. So the opportunity was then for me to kind of change roles from the operations manager of the zoo, which finished on the 31st of December, and then take up a consultancy role at Dublin Zoo, which is that I'm still in charge of the elephant care program in terms of, you know, guiding it and I'm working with the team and the keepers there. And then I get an opportunity to go global and I set up my own consultancy company, which is called Global Elephant Care.
Okay.
And I'll be working with Cincinnati and zoos across Europe and hopefully across America and Australia. And, you know, because elephants have had a very checkered past in human care. And we need to get a gold standard. And that's what I want to bring, a gold standard to how they're looked after. They're incredibly empathetic, beautiful animal to work with. They invest in one another. They care about one another. They look after one another.
Yeah.
And, you know, we need to get habitats that allow them to express their full biological repertoire of behavior.
Yeah.
And that's what we've done so well at Dublin Zoo, a multi-generational herd and 9 birds over 10 years, all born within the herd, a beautiful family of elephants. It's been a magnificent journey we've been on.
Does that mean now, Jerry, you won't be in the zoo every day? You'll just be kind of in and out?
No, exactly. No, I'll be in at selected times.
Okay.
I won't be in every day. I'm still obviously there for obviously to support when needed, but I'll be working a minimum of 50 days a year at Dublin Zoo.
Mm-hmm.
But as I said, it's an opportunity for me to go out there and do something that's very close to my heart, something that I always wanted to do.
Mm.
But, you know, it was a real, I've 36 years at Dublin Zoo. It's been a long time. It's been a lifetime.
Gosh.
Second generation zookeeper, my father obviously worked there and I came in as a young boy going around the zoo. And so it's a huge loss, but to be able to still have that professional association there and to still be able to work with the team. And then for the opportunity to expand my own consultancy business and do what something so close to my heart in terms of, you know, working with other zoos around the world to acquire a real authentic, genuine lifestyle for elephants and to guide them and let them learn from the wonderful achievements that Dublin Zoo has created for elephants. So, it's a win-win situation.
They are such a beautiful animal as well. And is it true, Jerry, that elephants never forget?
They have incredible memories. Like, they reckon that they can recognise up to 300 individuals, and particularly the matriarchs. Like, the elephant society is led by a female, and she makes all the right decisions. She remembers where the food is, where the water is, where the places to go for shade is, and she's the leader of the group. But even I was away in England last year for a few months training some elephants over there, and then when I came back and the way the herd greeted me and were excited and rumbled, and they really make you realise that they're such a smart, intelligent animal, that hands-on information from the matriarch down to the younger females, and particularly when there's a birth is a magical affair. You know, I've seen 9 calves calf's been born in Dublin Zoo, and the celebration of life as the calf hits the ground. All the young females are pushed in around this to see the new baby being lifted and standing for the first time. They're exposed to sights and smells and sounds that will make sure their futures are secure as mothers. So it's an incredible spectacle, and it's just that we've done it so well, you know, because we've built a habitat that allows them to display full natural elephant behavior. And then, you know, we don't share the same space with them. We just create a habitat, a landscape every day where they can really, really behave like elephants. So, you know, it's a chance to get out there, you know, bring that message across the world, you know, make it better for elephants. And then there's other things I want to do too. I'm really, really keen on education. And, you know, I want to get into schools and colleges. I've already, you know, do some lectures and presentations in Trinities and Trinity College and little small kids from every age group. So if I can inspire the next generation of zookeepers or you know, people to be conscious of the natural world and the crisis that we're facing, and, you know, to care, to be sustainable, to think about the plastics, you know, the palm oil production is huge. It's killing all the orangutans. Their habitat's been lost. And this is all, palm oil is used in chocolates and biscuits and soaps and all that. We need to make these conscientious decisions to be shopping appropriately, to save other parts of the world. So I'm really keen to get involved with schools and education, because I've got some incredible stories and presentations to do as well. So, you know, it'll be a real nice combination of, you know, working with animals, working across the globe, and then trying to inspire the next generation of budding zoologists and zookeepers here in Ireland when I get the chance.
Yeah. Jerry, will the elephants know that you're gone? Because, I mean, I saw the video that you did for RTE, and it was my good friend Gary actually interviewed you for it. You know, you called out the elephants by name, and they all came running when you called them. And I've been to the zoo before, and the elephants, sure, they wouldn't come near me. They must know your voice and everything, do
of
they?
Course,
that they react to you.
Exactly. It's a positive association, because they normally know, well, if Jerry's calling us, something good is going to happen, because you're normally either calling them into one of their indoor feeding areas or calling them over to the pool or, you know, to the feed them. So they respond to your voice very well. They know your voice and they want to come over and see what's happening. So that's what modern zookeeping is about. It's this positive interaction. When the keepers or the animals come close to their keepers, good things happen. And that's how you develop this wonderful relationship, because we need to train the elephants for veterinary purposes. And we use a method called protected contact. We don't share the same space as the elephants. But in the morning, the elephants come up and I can check their teeth, their eyes, their ears. They put their foot out to a foot port where we have to do pedicures in their feet and keep their nails and their feet in good, healthy condition. And they can take blood samples from their ears. And this is all trained through positive reinforcement. So you know that every time we engage the keepers or Jerry comes along, something good is going to happen. And it works for a very harmonious relationship, you know, but you still have to respect them. They're wild animals and they're smart. But, you know, training is a huge part of what we do now with animals in human care. You know, you don't have to throw nets on them on the air or stress them. Everything, you know, can be trained. If an animal, for example, is going away to another zoo, we would get the travel crate in many, many weeks in advance. We would, you know, train the animal in and out of the crate every day, get it used to, you know, the physical, you know, the new environment, you know, get it psychologically prepared for the journey. So then they go in the crate, they're happy, they don't have to be sedated, they don't have to be knocked out to be moved in. So it's strategic planning with the best welfare of the animal in mind.
Well, the elephants now, Jerry, when you're gone though, do you think that they'll get a bit depressed because they won't be hearing your voice the way they're used to it?
No, because I will know. I'll be in and out. We've got a really dynamic team of young keepers there that are full of capability and full of ability and passion and love for the hair that's there. And you know, there's some amazing young keepers coming through the ranks, and I'll always be there to guide them and help them. And the zoo puts so much resources into to keep making sure that the animals have everything they have. But I'll be checking in on them. I won't be walking away, that's for sure. It's a great opportunity to still have the association with Dublin Zoo. It's something that's very close to my heart, and I want to continue that. But yet, as I said, the motivation to be able to help elephants around the world is very significant, and a chance to kind of, you know, run my own business towards that aspect and help where I can across the globe is a huge passion and ambition for me too.
Mm. How do you know them by name? How do you differentiate between them?
Honestly, they've incredibly different features. I mean, it can be creases in their ears or folded one way or the other. The shapes of their heads. Every one of them has unique anatomical features that, you know, necessarily to the person that walks into the zoo, of course, is not going to notice. But when you're working with them every day, and, you know, as I said, the personalities are incredible. Like, they're just so different. Like, we've got some shy little elephants. We've got really boisterous, really ones that are out there in your face, you know, introverts, extroverts. You know, every point of personality comes through in elephants. So, you know, by the behaviors, but every one of them has their own little individual characteristics. that, you know, make them very unique and really easy to identify. You know, it's really not that hard.
I'm always intrigued as well, Jerry, as to how the zoo is, say, during in the middle of the night. Do you ever go in the middle of the night? I mean, are animals awake? Are they sleeping? What's going on?
No, I've had to be in there. I've had to go in loads of times and, you know, for various reasons. And, you know, some of them are very active. Like, the elephants love being out and about at night. And this is the great thing about new, you know, modern elephants, modern animal philosophies. They're not locked in anymore. The way that we manage animals now is with choice, opportunity and control. They decide when you want to go in and out. But we've got a really comprehensive camera system that are connected to our iPhones. And we can look in and see where they're moving, their activities, you know, see the relationships, who sleeps with each other, who's out feeding at nighttime. So we've over 140 cameras in all the different habitats, which is great because that allows you to see the natural behavior. Because sometimes when the keeper's there, it changes the behavior because they're watching the keeper, they want to see what's happening. But by looking in and using modern technology to harness the information, we get to see the relationships, the coalitions, you know, some incredible births and that. So, you know, this is all done through, we monitor them and check them over 24 hours a day. Like, the elephants do have access to what we call feed pods, where we open and remote control feeding devices that open out throughout the night for them to allow for natural feeding patterns. And so everything is, you know, is planned over 24 hours. It's not just for the hours that the keepers are there. Depending on the species, we make sure that they have an activity budget and they're kept active over a 24-hour period. Mm-hmm. That's what good and modern zookeeping is about.
Jerry, after 36 years, do you still have to pick up the elephant poo?
Oh, absolutely. We've been there and get stuck into it. There's over 30 tons a week that comes out of the elephant house. But as I said, I have a new generation of keepers. They're going to be doing that now. And I'll be there to offer the advice and help when needed. But I've never been shy to get stuck in when needed.
You probably get to a point where you don't even smell it anymore, is it?
No, but it's actually not bad, believe it or not. Because elephants, like their digestibility, they only digest about 40% of their food. And because they're mega herbivores and they have to eat massive amounts of food to make up their nutritional content. But their digestibility is very quick. So elephant poo, when it comes out, it doesn't actually smell too bad at all. Great fertilizer for the garden. But there's plenty of it, that's for sure. If they're either searching or looking for food for up to 18 hours a day, it's incredible.
The last time we were in the zoo, I remember seeing the poo around the place and going, like, where did they put it all? There's so much. Imagine them, because I know I've got two Labradors, Jerry, and the amount of poo they produce. I can only imagine in Dublin Zoo when you go around picking it all up.
Over 30 tons a week, one for the elephant herd. But then it goes, you know, it goes for compost and it all goes back into the ground and can be used for compost for where we grow our trees and our plants and our hay and our grass for the elephants. So it's a perfect recycling model.
What do you think in Dublin Zoo overall, Jerry? What would be the cheekiest animal in there, or any funny stories that have happened during your time at the zoo?
The apes are incredible. Like, the apes are great personalities and, you know, they're real characters. And, you know, it's different now, thankfully. But, you know, over the years, you've had to hand-raise animals for various reasons and take them home. And one of the ones was Lucy. It was a little chimpanzee that we had to take home, and, you know, all the family helped look after it, the missus, and she was just like having a child in the family. Like, you know, literally, she used to sit in the baby seat in the back of the car when I'd be driving in and out to work. And she lived with us for nearly 2 years, and you couldn't go from one room to the next without her clinging and hanging on. And thankfully, we eventually got her reintroduced back into the chimpanzee group in the zoo. But, you know, she was, you know, and when you see that, like an ape species like a chimp, and particularly in a house environment, and you see their needs and their need to be hugged and held and psychologically wanting to be held and be part of the family. Like, it was an incredible experience to have Lucy around, and she was very, very close to us all. And she's done brilliant now. She's an older chimp now. She's 16 now, and she eventually went off to a zoo in Poland to start a new breeding family with her mother and her aunt. And she's done great. She's done great now. She was fully successfully introduced back into her family home. Like, it's great to have them, but, you know, you have to realise that they are chimps, and chimps need to be with chimps, not with humans. Otherwise, long term, there'll be a consequence for their welfare. As a kid, just going up in the house, there'd be lions and tigers around the house, and you wouldn't know what we'd see in our house. It was always fun, that's for sure.
Stop it. I can just imagine pulling up in the car next to you in traffic and looking over and a chimp in the baby seat.
Did. People used to have, I tell you, it'd be so funny, double taking, and be looking at me and looking at the chimp and then looking at me, and I'd be looking back and I wouldn't touch, would paint any reaction. And Lucy'd be just, you know, she'd be banging the window looking at people, and well, the expressions were priceless. They were the funniest things you'd ever see, honestly. Very unique driving around Dublin.
And Jerry, did you live like in an ordinary, normal house in the city, like in a suburban city?
Yeah, just up South and Avon Road here at Cabra. We tend to be 50 kids outside the house every day waiting for to see Lucy coming home.
And what other animals went home with you? Anything else?
We had a brace of baby gorilla that lived with us. We had Rena and baby orangutan. We had lions, tigers, you name
it. Sorry, hang on a second. No, hang on. You had lions and tigers in your house in Cabra.
Yeah, baby cubs. That we had the hand rear, sure, everything. As I say, thankfully, nowadays, with the mothers are much more experienced and it's better. You know, in them days, conditions were a little bit different. It was more of an older Victorian zoo. Now we have the proper social groupings. And now hand rearing is frowned upon a little bit because it's better that they're with their own kind. So you try assist, feed them and assist them and then allow them back in with their, you know, when a hand raises, as I said, if you don't do it quickly enough and get them back in with their own type, it can have a very negative effect on their on their behaviour for the rest of their life. So it doesn't happen like it used to years ago.
Yeah. Sometimes too, isn't it, the mother can reject them and they get like an adopted mother in the zoo that looks after them, yeah.
Yeah, it can be first time mothers is very common, both in the wild as well, because, you know, in nature, the reproductive system starts quick and it's not like the moral guidance or so. You can't make your 20 or whatever. The animals will mate because it brings up rankings within the group and the males will become more protective of females that are cycling. So it's very important. But in, you know, mortality rate with first time mothers is very significant, both in the wild, you know, and in nature. That's the way it is.
And Jerry, when you started off in the zoo, you're there 36 years. Was it always a case where you knew that you wanted to look after elephants, or do you go in and then they kind of tell you which animal you're going to be looking after?
No, a good part of being a keeper is getting to understand and work for as many species as possible and get a good broad repertoire of how you look after them. But you do find you gravitate to certain species. For me, it was the big cats, the apes and the elephants. It was the intelligent ones, the ones that were reactionary, that, you know, kind of, you know, you could really get to understand them and see the personalities develop and, you know, develop really good working relationships with them. And it was just then, you know, the elephants are just so charismatic and, you know, they're such intelligent animals, the big cats, the power, the strength, and then the complexity of the apes. They were the ones for me. But then, you know, you have keepers there that just love the insects and the reptiles. But for me, there's not, you know, I respect all life and everything has a real important role to play in the ecology. But I just like the big mammals are much, much, much better in terms of, you know, I like the drama and the excitement and that's around walking with them. You know, they're just beautiful to be around and you can learn so much from how they behave and invest in one another.
And since you started doing the telly show then, Jerry, I bet you couldn't go anywhere without people nudging each other going, there's your man, there's your man.
Yeah, like it's brilliant. But people, you know, isn't it great? Like, you know, in 20 seconds, people just want a bit of your time. And, you know, the fact is that they're so interested in what we're doing. And the thing about the zoo show was, you know, we decided when we started over 10 years ago at Moondance Productions, that we're doing it was that it's an honest account of zoo life. And people say to me, Jesus, Jerry, it's like an emotional roller coaster ride watching that show. I'm sitting there with the kids, one of them are laughing, then we're crying, because it was about the real honest account of zoo life and how zoos work. And that's what people love about it. And we brought them on a journey and see exactly. But the one thing that shines through is the incredible love that the keepers have and the relationship that they have, and there's no length that he won't go to give the best care for their animals. Mm-hmm. So, you know, and that's all. People just want to hear a little bit about the show. And I'm being honest, I never get bored talking to people. They have an expectation of you to say hello. And the fact that they, you know, they have such thought and interest in what you're doing is lovely. It's lovely. And it's lovely. It's lovely for them to be, you know, to pay paying tribute to the zoo and the keepers and the love that they have for it. So long may it continue.
I love going to Dublin Zoo because I just find walking around, it's such a calm place almost, even though it's right in the middle of the city. You walk in there and you can forget about absolutely everything, can't you?
It's beautiful, like the way it's sunscreen, it's like a biopark. You know, we have a wonderful climate in Ireland, and obviously people will disagree, but in terms of, we don't feel hard cold, and certainly in terms of the zoo, we can grow an incredible amount of plant life. And the zoo is a real biopark, and then that the plants from different regions, like the Kaziranga Trail where the elephants are all Asian plants, African plains, we've all the African grass, and so we complement the landscape with part of the natural habitat from the country of origin. And if you walk around the zoo, you notice that there's no long straight paths, like it's meandering turns and that, where you stumble along these beautiful habitats. So there's a strategy behind that, and the habitats are planted that you're not looking at people through an area and see people the other side. Now you've selected views of the animals, and then the animals have choice to move in or out of these areas if they want. So, and people are patient now. We think, hang on, you know, the animals come first, you guys come second. If you don't see the animal, take your time and come back. People are patient, and people love the habitats that we've created in recent years, like the Kaziranga Trail, the gorilla rainforest, 15,000 plants, 200 different species, all edible for the gorillas, natural trees for them to climb. The orangutans, you know, they're a true arboreal ape. They like to climb high. People see them climbing overhead as they walk underneath.
Yeah,
wonderful, wonderful experiences for people to get. so close to nature. And unfortunately, the sad thing is all these are endangered species. They're endangered species that, you know, without the cooperation of zoos across Europe, we work with an organization called EASA, which is E-A-S-A, the European Association of Zoos and Aquariums. Every year we plan a strategy for endangered species. All the species that Dublin Zoo have are endangered. The Asian elephant's 30,000 left. So we have, you know, that we have the Asian lion less than 400. You know, some of these species are on the verge of extinction, and without the cooperation, these animals simply wouldn't have a future. Like, people say to me, oh, well, would they not be better in the wild? There is no such thing as the wild anymore. Oh, even in parks, at the parks in Africa, they're managed. I was in Kaziranga with the wild elephants when we had to stop traffic on the road so they could cross across a motorway to go from the forest where they once lived now, where the railroad and a motorway go through. The race for space, the human elephant population conflict in India, and the elephants are losing the battle. So, you know, without the care and good zoos and the work that they do, investing in communities and conservation projects in the wild and at home, and breeding programs within their zoo, you know, these animals have a hope and have a future. And the ultimate aim is reintroduction programs back to the wild. You know, a lot of the countries are unstable. But when they do, though, at least, you know, we have a population that's still in human care, that's safe, that, you know, offers hope for the future for these species.
Do you know what makes me sick, Gerry? And I'm sure you'll agree, these pictures you see online of the poachers, and they're there with the trophy because they've got a tusk in their hand or whatever. What is wrong with people in this day and age?
Well, Trina, this is the reality of it. In the conversation that we've had over the last 20 minutes or so, there's been two elephants poached in Africa. There's an elephant killed every 15 minutes in Africa for its ivory. Every 15 minutes for ivory, for ornaments. And the rhinoceros being killed because keratin is what their horn is made of. The same substance as the human nail. No medicinal or no properties at all. And yet, you know, traditions and cultures in certain countries lead us to believe that they can be the pangolin, one of the most trafficked animals in the world, for its scales, being killed. You know, it's awful. And you know, it's like one of the biggest industries after drugs and firearms is animals. You know, and now, even now, with lockdown, like in certain countries, they're advertising lockdown pets. You know, they're selling pets, and it's actually increased. The trade in pets and wild animals has increased greatly more because of lockdown, because people are buying little, basically disposable pets that they can throw away at the end of lockdown. Like, this is the... So, you know, people need to reflect. You need to think that when you even buy a dog or you buy a tortoise, you know, it's a cradle-to-the-grave life plan that you need to have, and think, can I actually give it what it needs? Am I going to give it the right love and care? And don't do it unless you can give it the best care. But, I mean, as I said, the world is gone a cruel place now, and animals are just really bearing the brunt of man's inhumanity to them.
Well, Gerry, we wish you all the best in your new role. I know you're going to do wonders for elephants all around the world. And hopefully, though, you won't completely be giving up Dublin Zoo, because you're
definitely
so well known. And let's face it, I want you to give me the tour one of the days with my little girl who's obsessed with the giraffes.
Listen,
so maybe you'll bring us in. Yeah,
absolutely. We'll do that. Now, I'll keep you updated. If any on my adventures across the globe, we can catch up again in a couple of months' time, and I can tell you what's happened.
Loved it.
It'll be a pleasure.
Loved it. Listen, thanks so much, Gerry.
Brilliant.
And fair play to you.
Thanks so much for having me on.
No problem
Take
at
care.
All. This is Bye-bye. Something for the weekend. It's Classic Hits.